Amen. Happy Sabbath, folks. It is a very privilege to talk to you today. I chose as a topic dreams. And, a lot of people in the Bible had dreams. And I'm going to read a little bit here about Joseph. Now, not the Joseph of the Old Testament, but Joseph of the New Testament. Let's go into our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. If you want to turn there. I'm looking at sort of the Christmas thing through the eyes of Joseph. Joseph had some dreams. Now, we know he had specific ones at specific times, but let's go to Matthew chapter 1, begin at verse 20, if you can follow along. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we've all come to you at various times. Some of us came to you as a young person, some of them came later in life, and some haven't come yet. But Lord, you often reveal yourself or come to folks in dreams. And we just thank you for the meaning of a lot of these dreams that have come to us. We read about Nebuchadnezzar, we read about Joseph, Daniel, different ones that had dreams, had messages, had confirmations, all kinds of things come in dreams. We ask that you would help us to understand what it is we need to know so that we can further your kingdom and hasten your return. In Jesus' name, amen. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth had an unusual happening. Zechariah was serving in the temple, doing the priest duties, and he had a visitation of an angel. He didn't have a dream. He wasn't dreaming. That Gabriel was really there talking to him. And you can imagine how that startled him. Or even Mary, when Gabriel went to her house and just walked right in there and appeared to her. You can imagine how that startled her. How would you, or what would you think if an angel suddenly appeared right next to you? Would you, hi. Wouldn't you be a little bit startled? It would kind of be a frightening thing. And some of us that might have weak hearts or pacemakers or anything like that, that might be the end of us, because that's a frightful thing. But Joseph didn't have Joseph, Mary's husband, did not have an angel appear to him right there. But he appeared to him in dreams. And that's interesting. I've been pondering Joseph's role here. He got this news from Mary that she was pregnant, and obviously it wasn't him because he hadn't gone near her that way yet. So he had some things to think about, and he was thinking, what am I going to do? This girl has somehow gotten pregnant here, and that's not right. But he said he was a just man, and as he pondered on these things, the Lord appeared to him, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And he gave the particulars of who he was, what he would be, and you, he said, Joseph, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's quite a dream, folk. And see, up to this time, Joseph and Mary were two obscure people in a remote area of the world, really living peasantry lives, you know, just regular, ordinary lives like anybody else of that time. And until a certain time came. But God does things on a timetable. And in the fullness of time, once upon a time, as we say, that's not once upon a time, but in, you know, it came to pass, the Bible also says, it came to pass. God had this on a schedule. But that wasn't the only dream Joseph had. He had some more. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Joseph dreams again here. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there till I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Dream number two. Okay. Now there's another dream coming up. Go to verse 19. "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.'" Is that the end of his dreams? No, he got another one coming. Verse 22. "But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee." There's a lot of significance here. I want you not to grasp a hold of this. Joseph had four dreams. The wise men had a dream. Did you catch that in that story? The wise men. Verse 12 in Matthew chapter 2. Here we go. And I got to get my glasses on. My eyes are fading here. What was it? Wise men, chapter 2, verse 12. "Then being divinely warned in a dream." Now that's how many number of wise men there were. They all had the same dream. "That they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." I want to ask you, have any of you ever had a dream that you knew was from God? Anybody? Nobody. Some of us do. I've had that. Years ago, when I was just a new Christian, I was warned by God in a dream that everybody close to me would try to take it away from me. And it was kind of like a Christmas-type dream, because I came out of this, in my dream, I came out of this dark place and everything lit up, and I walked to a deserted house that had fallen into disrepair, and the furniture inside was a mess, and things were upheaved and spilt, and I looked at it, and then I passed through it, and then I saw a door with a light shining in the door, and I walked through that door, and I came into this beautiful room, had a Christmas tree, had presents and everything, and somebody I recognized, and it was my father, came to me and he said, "You don't belong here." So then I woke up. And I didn't know the interpretation of the dream until I went to prayer about it. I said, "What does this mean, Lord?" I didn't know what it meant. And in prayer, at a prayer meeting 3 days later, I was on my knees and the interpretation came. And the interpretation was that the darkness was, I had just come to Christ, I'd seen the light, I'd come out, and I saw the corruption and everything in my life, and I had become his child. And then I went through a door, the light, the door was him. Jesus is the light and he's the door. And I went through that light, through that door, into that beautiful room, which was his salvation that he paid for. All these gifts, all these presents, all the wonderful things of God were mine for the claiming. But then my father came and said, you don't belong here. And the interpretation was that don't let even your family members talk you out of this. They're going to come. Your enemies, the Bible says, would be of your own household. It even said that your spouse would be turned against you. Your family members would be turned against you. And he says, no matter what happens, stick with me and all this beautiful things will eventually be yours. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. So that was a dream I had. And I think some of you might have been warned in some dreams too. You just didn't put your hands up. But the significance of having a dream. You know, a lot of things begin with a dream, with an idea, a thought. Why dreams? Because God can speak to you in a way that doesn't frighten you. You know that Zacharias was frightened by the angel. Mary was frightened by the angel. Daniel was frightened by angelic visitations every now and again. Whenever a lot of the men of God were confronted with angels, they usually, like Isaiah said, oh my goodness, I am a man of unclean lips. They get really fearful. But many, many people, and the Bible says here in Acts 2 and 17, that the old men would dream dreams. Well, so do young men, and so do people of every age. You can have a dream. You can have a vision. God speaks to you where you are. And has God been trying to reach you? And how does he reach you? I know he gripped a hold of me years ago. If I'd have known then what I know now, what I had to go through to get to here, I would have shrunk back in horror. Think of it. 18 years old when I come to the Lord. I'm 62 now. I've been through a lot, folks. And a lot of it's been discouraging. And still is discouraging. Do you find the closer we come to coming to the Lord, the harder life gets? Don't you find that the pressing darkness of this world really, really pushing us, pressing in on us, trying to get us to quit and give up? I don't know about you, but I've had the worst year of my life, and yet I've been the closest to the Lord I've ever been. Figure that out. The closer you get to God, the worse things get. Shouldn't we? If we look at things the way they are right now, and see only this life, and see only what's going on around us that we can see, feel, touch, and hear, it's enough to drive you around the bend. But you've got to look beyond that this life. You've got to see the world in light of eternity, that this is only a small interval in an eternal existence. We've got to get our perspective, our priorities straight here. And it starts with a dream. And we need to remind ourselves of what our dreams are, what our goals are. Because we have a hope. We have this hope that we sang, that we always sing. We've got the hope. If you don't have the hope, you're hopeless. Aren't you? If you haven't got a dream, if you haven't got a vision, if you don't know where you're going, what are you doing? You know, like Alice said to the Cheshire Cat said to Alice, where are you going? Well, she asked the Cheshire Cat, how do I get out of here? He says, where are you going? She says, I don't know. She said, then it doesn't matter where you go. If you don't know where you're going, then it doesn't matter what you do. But you got to know where you're going. You've got to have a clear vision. You've got to have a definiteness of purpose. You need to know what you're here for and why you're here. And we are here to do the will of God. And we are to be listening and attuning our ears to what God wants us to do. Have you asked Him lately what He would like for you to do? Every day, I pray this prayer, Lord, send me to somebody I can help, or send them to me. And He always answers that prayer, yes. That one He never refuses. That one He never delays. If you pray that prayer, there's always going to be somebody that you can minister to. Every day. He will put them in your path. It will be a challenge to you. You will recognize it because the Holy Spirit will say, this is it. This is the one. Speak to them. Talk to them. You've got to have definiteness of purpose, so you need a vision. You need to be a dreamer, folks. Now, you know, Joseph, I don't think, went around in the dream world. In fact, he was quite a man up in years by the time he had that first dream, but then he had the second dream, and then he had the third dream, and then he had the fourth dream. And God was very specific and clear. You know, expect Him to do things in your life. Expect Him to talk to you. You pray and you pray and you pray. Don't you think He has the ability to speak back to you and answer you and talk to you? And you may be just reading this for the 50th or 100th time, and then that scripture all of a sudden lights up and you understand it. I've read this Bible 3 times a year for the last 40, 50 years. And I'm still not there yet. There's a lot that I don't understand. And then one day I'm reading something and it just blows my mind. Why didn't I see that before? I'm a dreamer, folks. And sometimes I live too far much in the dream world. I know I do. But if you don't have a dream, what are you living for? Why are you alive? You've got to have dreams, hopes, aspirations. You've got to want to know what life is all about. Why am I here? You know, everybody asks that question. Why am I here? Where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? By the time I figured out how to be a kid, I was a grown-up. And I said, man, I missed it. You know, that's the truth. I spent most of my adult life trying to uncomplicate myself from what adults had taught me. You know, they complicate things. When you're born, you have no complications. Everything's straightforward. You want this, you want that, you cry for it, you get it. You know, whatever it is, just cry, you'll get it. Then they say, oh, no, you have to ask. You have to have manners. You've got to learn this. You've got to learn how to talk. You've got to learn how to walk. You've got to learn how to interact with other people. They just keep complicating. The longer you live, the more complicated people make your life. You go to school. One teacher tells you this, and another one contradicts you, and another one tells you this, and one says this is true, and one says that. And you say, what? And they add it on you, and they pile it on you. And they practically take your ability to dream away from you by the time you're grown up. Because life becomes a disillusionment if you don't grasp a hold of the meaning of it very soon in your life. Then you say, what am I doing? It's an exercise in futility if you don't know what you're doing or where you're going or why. You know, who, what, when, where, how, why. Those questions have got to be answered, and it starts with a dream. I used to dream that I could fly. Especially after I had pizza just before I went to bed, I could fly all over the place. You know, I used to have wonderful dreams. But you know what you dream about? What your head is full of. What you put in there comes out in your dreams. And if you implant the Word of God and read the Word of God and pray and stay in that world and speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what's in here? Scripture, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and the communications and keeping your relationships right. That's an important thing. If you don't have your relationships right, nothing works. If you don't love your brother and your sister and take care of them first, you second, because they're more important than you, yes, you've got to believe that. Everybody says, oh no, you've got to look after yourself first. No, you look after your brother and your sister. Yourself will be taken care of when you do that. You know, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added to you. You know, I've got to simplify my life and look at things straight and simple like a child again. So I'm 62 now, and I'm just starting to think right. My old uncle was a Pentecostal preacher, and he said, here I am, 76 years old, ready to die, and I'm just getting ready, just getting started. I just begin to understand this, and I'm gone. Just when you think you just about got it, you die. Isn't that the way of the world? Isn't that just the way things are? So let's get an understanding of where we're going, what we're doing, and the best way is to keep the lines of communication open so that when you're sleeping in your bed and you have a dream, this will be material that God can draw on, and He can say, this, this, this. Remember, see, He quoted scriptures. The angel of the Lord, when he came to Joseph, quoted scriptures and told him that his name, "Behold, a virgin, he shall be with child and bear a son." And, you know, and Joseph was given all this because we know Joseph read his scriptures. We know Mary was a devout person because the Bible says they were devout. So what has God got to work on in your life? We got a job to do, folks. Now, what's our dream? What's your dream? Do you have one? Do you want one? I'll give you one. Jesus is alive. He's real. And when I had that first dream long ago, it just woke me up. Oh my goodness, this is real. This is true. I had a want to. I had a hope. I hope it's true. I thought it was true. I asked him to forgive me just in case it was true. And then he came and he told me it was true. And that somebody was going to try to take it away from him. And you hold on to it with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And I says, "Lord, if I'm going to be persecuted, at least let me remember. Help me to understand the truth. So if I'm persecuted for the truth's sake and not because of some error that I might have. If you're going to be in error, then if I'm going to be in error, I don't want to be persecuted for that. But if I have to be, and I was persecuted, then let it be the truth that I'm persecuted for." So have you got a dream today? Are you dreamers? Can I entice you to be listening? When the Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Are you listening for your name today? Joseph had dreams. Ordinary people made extraordinary because of a dream. Joseph, who would have thought? Mary, who would have thought? Paul, who would have thought? Peter, who would have thought? Ordinary people can do extraordinary things when they have dreams, when they have visions, when they have a foundation that is completely saturated with the Word of God, then you're ready for something miraculous to happen in your life. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for warning me years and years ago that everybody that I loved and cared about would try to steal it from me. And how you helped us persevere over the years, and how you gave us the ability to stick in there, hang in there, to overcome a lot of things, and we got a lot of things to overcome yet, Lord. Help us to overcome the onslaught of the devil, the world, and the flesh. Lord, they're just out there telling us what to do and how to live and where to go, and we just need divine guidance. Help us, Lord, that we might get in tune with your will and get in tune with one another and love each other all the way to the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.